Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now to a massive junction in the war in Ukraine, because Russia has targeted Ukraine with another wave of deadly strikes a day after one of its biggest air attacks of the war. At least 7 people were killed and dozens wounded as missiles and drones were fired into more than half of Ukraine's regions. Power infrastructure was hit as well, causing widespread blackouts as the entire country was put under air raid alert and told to take shelter. Now, Russia has said the West is playing with fire by considering allowing Ukraine to strike deep into Russian territory with Western missiles, and has cautioned the US that World War III would not be confined to Europe. For the latest on these strikes, I'm joined by Kira Rudik, who's a member of the Ukrainian Parliament and leader of political party Golos. Kira Rudik, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
You have described the past 24 hours as a nightmare, I think. Russians attacked 15 regions of Ukraine with drones and cruise and ballistic missiles. There are wounded and killed, I know. At this point, Kira, are you still sheltering?
Yes, we do indeed. So yesterday there was a massive attack, and from what I remember, it was the longest time that air raid siren was on for more than 7 hours that we had to spend at the bomb shelter. And because there were some Russian missiles that hit the targets, since yesterday we are experiencing severe energy outages. Like even right now, I'm speaking with you when my diesel generator is on, and today we only had electricity for 2 hours straight. And we know that situation is incredibly hard throughout Ukraine because our energy infrastructure has been targeted deliberately by Russia, breaking all kinds of the international laws and basically knowing what they are doing, trying to bring us to the total outage and blackout and make sure that we freeze in the winter.
And even in the context of the war that you've suffered through up until now, the last 24 hours has been an extremely traumatic episode. But can I talk to you about the other element, the more recent element, Ukraine's progress into Kursk? What is the latest on that? And your call, your president's call, for the use of Western weapons to be used deep in Russia?
Well, of course, we were all elated when the special operation into Kursk started, basically because it's a sign to all the world, to all our international partners, that Russia is not invincible, that we should not be afraid, that our partners should not be afraid. We can fight them, and we are absolutely sure that with the right means, we can win the war. And this is why our president's call for allowing us to use the Western weapons on this Russian territory, it is related to the matter that when the missile is going at you, it's much easier to take it down at the start or to take down the plane that is launching this missile, rather than try and catch it on the fly. So, for example, recently also one of Russian missiles crossed the Polish border because once they are close to the target, it's very hard to deal with them. This is why we need critically to be able to use all the weapons, not only that are in our possession, but all the weapons that we need and that we have requested for our cause. And here I want to use this opportunity and to thank our great friend from Ireland, Timmy Dooley, Vice President of ALDE and the Senator, who was so helpful in supporting Ukraine and persuading so many politicians that we are fighting for the right thing.
However, can I put it to you, the warning from Russia, Kira Rudik, because Sergei Lavrov, as you know, the Russian foreign minister, has said Ukraine's demands, as you've outlined them there, for the West to allow it strike deep into Russia with Western weapons amounts to blackmail, they say. And the element that I wish to put to you, they say that Russia is adjusting its nuclear weapons doctrine in this regard, in this context.
Well, I think we need to be very blunt here. Russia has been threatening the world for a very long time. And they have been trying to frighten our partners into obeying some rules or red lines that Russia is putting there. I think by this time, we know that no matter what we do or no matter what our international partners do, Russia keeps terrorizing us. However, they are not having massive developments on the battlefield. So when they're threatening the rest of the world with the Third World War, well, my question would be, if you are so strong, why were you not able to protect Kursk? Or if you are so strong, you promised to take Kyiv in 3 days. You promised to take Kharkiv in 3 days. So these threats are having a goal to stop our partners from giving us the weapons. And we need to be very clear about that. Russia is obviously doing everything that they are capable of, like right now, terrorizing us with their missiles.
What if you don't receive explicit permission from your Western allies to use weapons in the manner in which you desire?
I'm sorry to say it, but more people will die. You know, the worst thing than sitting in a bomb shelter with your family and neighbors is to sit there and just pray and think that we hope that our air defense systems, that they have enough of the ammunition, that they would have enough to protect us and they don't have to make the, you know, those hard decisions. So every single day of the delay for those decisions to make is something that we are paying for with the lives of our citizens, because we know that Russia's terror would not stop unless it is stopped. And we are here to stop them, and we just need the means to do that. Look, since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, we were so open to all our allies. We have been so effective and efficient and going by the rules with every rule that was put on us. And we have been so creative with the limited resources to still remain an independent country, to be fighting back and to be using like everything that is now a possession just to one simple goal, to survive and to remain like a free state. And we have been pretty successful in that. So now we are saying, please, please, please give us the necessary means to end the war, to win the war. We are showing you examples that we can do that. So please go along with us and allow us to do what is necessary.
But is it to end the war, Kira, or is it to escalate the war into what Vladimir Putin or Sergei Lavrov alludes to, which is the possibility of World War III?
Well, I want to go back to my previous statement. Well, if Russia could have done something worse, they would already be doing that. So they have already committed all kinds of the war crimes. They are trying to take our major cities, and they are not successful in that. They cannot protect their own borders. So how the country that is not doing very well in the war, but they are doing very well in terrorizing the peaceful cities, how they can threaten the free world with the World War III? This has only one goal, to stop their lives from supporting us. And we should be doing exactly the opposite.
So how does the use of allowing the use of Western weapons to strike deeper into Russia's territory or their military air bases or from where they send ballistics to Ukraine, how does that end the war?
So giving you example, yesterday, there were more than 100 missiles and more than 100 drones sent our way. And we had to use all kinds of the equipment that we have, expensive equipment also provided by our allies. We could have done it easier, faster, and with best efficiency if we could have taken the planes and the drones on Russia's territory while they were still on the run. And if we could have targeted the factories that are still avoiding the sanctions and are able to build the missiles, to build the drones. And if Russia wouldn't have enough resources to fight with, then we could push them, as we have shown the world how we can do this. So this is our main goal, to destroy its ability of producing the weapons. Same way as we were asking the free world to help us do with the sanctions. Apparently sanctions are not working that well. So let us then do it the way that we know how.
And are you asking for permission to render Russia militarily impotent 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers into Russia to ensure the safety of Ukraine's territory? Or do you want to go further? Do you want to do you want to harm Russia's military prowess and Vladimir Putin's authority over the country?
You know, Cormac, as a Ukrainian who spends right now majority of my time without electricity and in the bomb shelter, I of course want to tell you that all we want to fight them and to make it so painful to them. But the truth is, that's not what we want. We always wanted one thing. One thing is to live in our country and to be left alone, to become a member of European Union, to develop and move forward. And this is what we need right now, to push Russia away from our territories, to stop them from terrorizing our people, and to make sure that Russia would not be able to attack us again.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. It could be a defining juncture based on the response from your Western allies, as I say, in this war in Ukraine. MP Kira Rudik, thank you very much.